Thank you for listening to the podcast of Faith Baptist Church of Enfield, Connecticut. We hope and pray that these messages from Pastor Gary will be a help to you. You can find out more about our church at www.fbcenfield.com or find us on Facebook. God bless and enjoy the message.
Now, we're not going to go into every detail of this passage this morning, but remember Wednesday night we do have a Bible study at 7 o'clock, and we go over these passages and we dig deeper into them. We've had some great discussions. Would love to have you come to that. But this morning, I want us to focus on worship. Now, verse 1 of chapter 4 says, "After these things I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. And the first voice I heard was like a trumpet speaking to me, saying, come up here, and I will show you the things which must take place after this." Now, we think about, what is it going to be like in heaven? What is heaven going to be like? Well, heaven is God's home. Heaven, there's a door open, and we can think about, Bible says Jesus is the door, and John has this vision. He's invited in to see the presence of God, and the greatest part of heaven is that we're going to continue to do what we're doing here on earth, and that's worship the Lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world. Now, sometimes we think of heaven as being a quiet place, and you're sitting on a cloud, and you've got your little harp, and it's nice and quiet. But as we come to this scene, it seems kind of noisy. Now, I don't know how many of you have been to concerts, Christian concerts or other concerts, but one thing I've learned about concerts, they're not quiet. They're pretty loud. The largest concert, what I could find on the internet, was attended. It was in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil in 1991. 3.5 million people. Now, I haven't been to a concert that big. I've been to some conferences. Concerts down in Hartford and Springfield, up in Maine when I was a kid. And think about a concert, people are excited. And they're usually wearing the t-shirt of their favorite artist, and they're all excited to be there. And they're when the people come out, they're excited to see their band or their favorite singer. And concerts are not quiet. They're usually pretty noisy. They're usually pretty, a lot of enthusiasm, and people are there to really get into them. Now, my wife, she gets into it. I'm still kind of quiet, but she's, I have to like hold her in, right? If I let her go, she'd be like screaming. Sometimes she does that. I get embarrassed. But as we come to this passage today, we're coming to a picture of this worship in heaven. And we've been talking about worship, right? And what did I tell you? What do you need to do before you come to church? What do you need to do? Okay, pray, worship. Huh? Prepare. That's the word I was looking for. How can we prepare? What? I didn't catch that, Bill. Get out of bed. Well, that's a good start, Bill. Praise the Lord. After you get out of bed. No, coffee, you guys. Coffee, all right. How about pray? How about ask God to cleanse you? How about confessing our sins? How about listening to the worship songs? How about praying for everybody that comes and praying for the Spirit of God to move and come into church with expectations of what God is going to do? And I've been emphasizing that worship is something we all do. Worship is, we're not coming to a concert. We're coming to worship God. We're coming to worship the Lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world. We're coming to honor and glorify Him. And so, heaven, you know, we talk about this concept of heaven. We have this idea in our mind, but I often wonder if a lot of people really would not want to go to heaven. because a lot of people don't want to do the things that we'll be doing in heaven here on earth. Why would you want to go to heaven? Heaven's not about you. Heaven's not about your own paradise island that you're just, God's going to give you. You're out there and you're going to have a good time. We come to this section of scripture. Like I said, we're not going to get into all the details here. We're kind of getting an overview of it. But we see here an intense, powerful, majestic, loud scene as we talk about this worship. Now, if you go look at Revelation 1:19, it gives us the breakdown of the book of Revelation. He says, write the things which you have seen. Okay, chapter 1. What did John see? Anybody remember what John saw? What did he see? Anybody? Anybody ever read Revelation? First chapter, very significant passage. He saw the glorified Jesus. John was in the island of Patmos, and he was there for persecution. He had a vision of Jesus, the things which are, and the things which he saw. And then the second division, he said, and the things which are. What chapters are the things which are? What's he talking about? Anybody? The church, Revelation 2 and 3. We have the letters to the seven churches. Thank you. Seven churches. Okay, from Ephesus to Laodicea, the letters to the seven churches, the things which are. In which age are we in now? The church age. And then he says, the things which will take place after this, that are coming. Okay, and so we come to the verse 1 again, and he says, now, after these things, and a lot of people believe, and I tend to believe, I'm pretty convinced of it. But after this, there's a trumpet. And so what event does that talk about? The rapture. In other words, the church is going to be taken out. You don't see the church here. You have this worship theme, and then you have the great tribulation. You have all the trials that are going to come upon the earth. And we think that things are bad today. This is just a warm-up. You read the book of Revelations, you got the, and we talked about the seven seals that are going to be open. And so we have this scene in heaven, the things which are. So I believe the church is taken out. And so we have these two chapters before we get into the meat of the book of Revelation. And John is in this scene in heaven. The scene in heaven where they're worshiping. We have the 24 elders. And we have these great creatures, and we have this scene of Jesus taking the book, that he's worthy to open it. And so in this passage, I'm going to pull out four aspects of worship in which we need to focus on. Because this morning, we're warming up. This is a warm-up. Every Sunday is a warm-up. Because in heaven, we're going to be worshiping God. And so let's focus on these things, first thing. So, number one, worship focuses upon God's authority. Notice verse 2. Immediately, I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne set in heaven. And one sat on the throne. So a throne speaks of authority. Now, we've grown up in a democracy. We don't have a king. We don't have the royal heritage in America like we have in England. If you've watched The Crown, there's a whole drama and dynamic of the royal family and the significance of that. Now, many people want to get rid of that. But there's one royal family that we can't get rid of. And that's God. He has a throne. His throne is set in heaven. His word is set in heaven. It speaks of God's authority. God is the one in charge. God is the one that sets the rules. God is the one that's going to be worshiped. And here is the thing, why I said earlier, some people don't want to go to heaven. If you don't recognize Jesus Christ's authority now, what are you going to do in heaven? You think there's another ruler? You think it's just going to do what you want? You get into the scene in heaven and there is a throne and there is a God on the throne. And the question for us is, who is on the throne of your heart? We come to worship. When we come to worship, we got to understand when we worship, who is on the throne? Who are we honoring? Who are we singing to? Who is it about? It's not about us. It's about Him. Notice verse 8. And the four living creatures, having each six wings, were full of eyes around and within, and they do not rest day and night, saying, what are they doing all day? These creatures, they're singing, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. It's like the same song playing on the radio all day. They're worshiping the one on the throne. Verse 9, whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to Him who sits on the throne, who lives forever and ever. And verse 14 of chapter 5, then the four living creatures said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshiped Him who lives forever and ever. So all human authority bows down to the ultimate authority, God. The truth is, nobody's in charge. You could say, well, I'm a husband, I'm in charge. Or I'm the founder of my business, I'm in charge. Or I'm a senator, I'm in charge. Or I'm a governor, or I'm a president, I'm in charge. No, you're not. You're all of us, every one of us, whether it's husband, whether it's entrepreneur, whether it's senator, whether it's president, you're under the authority of God. We bow to Him, give honor to Him. And these 24 elders now, I'm not sure what they are, could be a strong case that they represent the 12 tribes of Israel and the 12 apostles, but they represent an authority on this earth that is under the authority of God. And so we're all, worship focuses on the one who is in charge. And so when we come to worship this morning, when we come here to worship, I think one of the things is our heart should be bowed. Our heart should come in with humility. Our heart should come in submissive to God because He's the one in authority. He's the one that rules and reigns. He's the one that always will have the last word. And so when we submit to that authority, we begin to understand and see how God works in our lives. We don't come to worship with preconceived demands. I think if you're reading the book of Job now, for those of you who study, I'm ahead. I read the whole book because I really was into it. But that's what Job's problem was. Job was upset with God. And Job was like, God, why did you do this? And his three friends came and said, Job, you've sinned. Repent of your sins. He's like, no, I haven't sinned. In fact, Job said, I want to go to the court of God. I want to appeal my case. I want justice. That's what we do often. We argue with God. Why did you do this? And why did this happen? And then you'll get there next week. Finally, at the end, God spoke. And what did Job do? He says, I repent in dust and ashes. When he saw the power of God, he realized, no, God's in charge. I did not know what I was talking about. Because Job says, all right, Job, speak. You got anything to say? Nope. So God, worship focuses on God's authority. Then number two, worship focuses upon God's beauty. Focuses upon God's beauty. Now, we come to this scene in heaven, and it's, I'm not very good at painting these pictures. This is a picture. Think of a painting. Think of colors. Think of new creatures, new scenes. He says, and he who sat there was like jasper and sardis, stones in appearance. And there was a rainbow around the throne in appearance like an emerald. Now, probably many of us have seen the beauty of nature, the beauty of creation. Maybe you've been to, Grand Canyon. I've never been there. Or you've been to up on Mount Washington. We've been to the mountains of Romania or to the sea, and you see these great scenes. But there's one thing about this earth. This earth is cursed. Like, you're just seeing a fraction of God's beauty. Like, the most beautiful scene you can see upon this earth is just a shadow compared to the beauty in God, in heaven. Because this earth groans. Romans 8 says this earth groans. This earth has been corrupted. This earth has been tainted by sin. And as beautiful as you can see things, it's nothing compared to the beauty of God. And so there's this rainbow. There's this appearance of an emerald. Verse 5 says this, and from the throne proceeded lightning, thundering, and voices. So it was noisy. There was this thundering. There was this lightning. There was this spectacular scene. But we like fireworks. Let's go watch the fireworks. And every year we complain. Well, it wasn't as good as last year. It was shorter this year. Budget crunch. It won't be like that in heaven. You won't even need the fire department there. It'll be spectacular. It'll be something you have never seen. And so we see this scene, and worship focuses upon, the Psalms talks about the beauty of God in his temple, the greatness of God. It's not just the physical beauty of God and his creation and what we see. It's the beauty of God in our lives. So it focuses upon him. And so worship is something that we have to focus upon God's beauty, the marvel of God, the wonder of God, the creation of God, the wisdom of God, the mercy of God. We focus upon his beauty. And then worship focuses upon the victory of God. The victory of God. In a sense, this whole scene is a victory scene, is it not? Because they're saying there's no one in heaven, in earth, that's able to open the book, open the scroll. Nobody can open the scroll. And John is sad, and the elder says, don't be sad. He says, but the one of the elders said to me in verse 5, do not weep. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has what? Prevailed. He's won the victory. It's a victory celebration. It's a celebration that people are enthused. I've seen pictures of the victory after World War II and the celebrations after all the suffering and all the millions of people that died. I'm sure the enthusiasm was like something we never experienced. But here they are in heaven, they're excited about, here's the victory. We're here. You see, the reason you'll go to heaven is because of the victory that Jesus won. Not your victory. We were born in sin. We were born separated from God. The only way we can go to heaven is the victory that Jesus won when he died on the cross. And he, the Lamb, and we have a picture of Jesus as the Lamb that was slain. That was slain for our sins. And verse 9 says this, and they sang a new song, saying, "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals. For you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue, people, and nation." That's the victory. The victory is the gospel. The gospel is the victory. The gospel is the message. Here in heaven, they're even in heaven. What are they proclaiming? The message. Is it a message of social change? Is it a message of do better? Is it a message of good works? Boy, we're all here. And we all, man, you made it because you worked hard. You made it because you didn't sin. You made, none of that. We're singing the glory. He won the victory. He redeemed us. By your blood, we're here. We're saved. Nobody will ever be in heaven by good works. The only time, only people that be in heaven are those that put their trust in Jesus, because he's the one that won the victory. He's the one that died for our sins. And so it's a victory song. And so guys, when we come to church, it's about victory. Don't come to church defeated. Yeah, you got things happening, and yeah, we have sicknesses, and we can't pay our bills, and, you know, our neighbor was mean to us, and our car broke down, and we had the victory. The one that lives forever and ever. Jesus lives forever. We're going to live with him forever and ever. None of these, listen, it'll never be heaven on earth. Doesn't exist. Because earth cannot compare to heaven. And so, as we come to worship, we focus on the authority of God. We focus upon the beauty of God. We focus upon the victory. He has prevailed. And Paul said, and he declared, "I am persuaded that neither life nor death nor things present nor things to come, nor principalities, or powers, or any other creature shall be what? Able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus." It is a victory song every Sunday. And then worship, finally, focuses upon our participation. Our participation. Notice verse 10 of chapter 4. The 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne and worship him, lives forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying. Notice the participation. And here is the point that I've been trying to make these past weeks, that we got to get out of our mind that coming to church is just sitting down and not participating. We need to participate with our voice, with our heart, with our prayer, with our song, with our sacrifice. There's people right now that are worshiping, and you know what they're doing? They're staying with your kids. They're worshiping, changing diapers. Amen? You didn't know you could do that, did you? You thought you had to have your hands up to worship. No, you can worship changing diapers. You're participating. All of us are participating, worshiping together. And so these elders, they came and they threw down before God. We talked about a few weeks ago sacrifice and how in Malachi they wanted to cheat God, and they wanted to give an inferior sacrifice, and they wanted to be half-hearted. Or just do that. Oh, by the way, so Friday, you can talk to Patrick. We're actually not putting up sheetrock Friday. We're actually doing demolition. So if you want a hammer and you want to get some anger out, just come. And you can worship. Bang and sheetrock, all right? Participation, chapter 5, verse 8. Now when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp. So what were the actions of worship? They bowed down. They played instruments. And a golden bowl full of incense, which is the prayer of the saints. Verse 11. Then I looked. Now she said, I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, the living creatures and the elders. And the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. And what were they doing? Verse 12. Saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and blessings. What were they doing? They were worshiping. They were singing. They heard their voices. Can you imagine what it sounded like or what it's going to sound like when we have all those voices and they're all singing? And so I said, as I said at the beginning, this is a prelude Sunday morning of what it's going to be like in heaven and how we're going to be worshiping him. And so as we think about worship, let's think about and focus upon that this is part of how we're going to worship God in heaven. We think about his authority. Is Jesus your Lord? It talks about confessing him as Jesus as Lord. Lord means that he has the ultimate desire. Is there something you're holding back on? Like, yeah, I want God's blessing, but there's this, I'm not giving God this and I'm not giving God that. Until you give it all, you're not going to have the full experience. Do you trust God with everything? Because holding back on God is really a lack of faith. Because, like, I can do a better job than God. I mean, God's pretty good, and yeah, he loves me, but he wants me to give money? Oh, no, that's not right. Or he wants me to pray more or read my Bible or forgive somebody or let go of fear. I want to keep on to that. Is he your authority? Do we focus on his beauty? Do we focus upon the victory? Are we living a defeated life? It's like, yeah, God is powerful. He can create the universe, but he can't help me with my anger. He can't. Like, he can create the sun, but he can't help you with your anger? Think about that for a minute. Well, maybe you're not allowing him to do that because he's not your Lord. Worship, as we think about worship, we think about this principle today. Lord, help us to focus on worship. Help us to focus on worshiping God, to submit into his authority, to behold in his awe, to meditate upon the victory. And to participate with our lives as a living sacrifice. Let's stand and pray this morning. Heavenly Father, we give you praise today for your love and goodness. We give you praise today for your word. Lord, this is definitely a difficult passage for us to understand. There's a lot of stuff in here that we didn't cover. But we see here a tremendous scene. Something that we can't quite grasp in our minds. But Lord, may you make it real to us. Help us to seek those things which are above. Help us to imagine the beauty and the awe and the glory of heaven. Lord, sometimes we're too earthly minded. And we're seeking you to make our earthly experience better. Instead of submitting to you, and help us to see the glories of eternity. Lord, life is short. Help us to number our days. Help us not to waste time. And Lord, help us to use every occasion as a time in which we can worship and honor you. Lord, somebody here is not saved. They've not come into a relationship with you. If they'd come this morning, maybe somebody's just kind of just been holding back, letting something hinder their worship, that they would give it all to you. Lord, increase our vision. Help us to have a vision of your glory, your power, your honor, that we may live here for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You come as we sing. Maybe you just want to come and worship. Come and kneel down. Maybe you want somebody to show you here in the Bible how you can know for sure you have salvation, that you're saved. Maybe you just need to renew your heart. Lord, my heart's been a little cold towards worship. Maybe you came here unprepared. Say, Lord, help me to come prepared for worship. You come as we sing this morning.
What gift of grace is Jesus, my Redeemer? There is no more for heaven now to give. He is my joy, my righteousness and freedom, my steadfast love.